Merry Christmas. It's great to be with you this morning. I'm going to share with you just a short message this morning from the Gospel of Luke. You're welcome to look on in the Bible with us if you have one with you, or you can look on with someone else. We had a blessed Christmas Eve service last night, so here for a quick stop on a Christmas morning. Luke chapter 2. Verse 8. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in the swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." Let's just say a quick prayer, shall we? We thank you, Lord. We can gather here on this Christmas morning and look briefly together at the baby in the manger again and just consider all that it means. I do pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would minister to each and every one of us, myself, your Spirit would be upon me, but you'd lead this time and minister to anybody who might be online watching or listening on the radio somewhere. But we thank you that we can just stop and remember what this is all about, Christmas is all about. So we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Christmas is about the birth of the Savior. It is true. You read in the Gospels the details surrounding his birth. We also learn that he is a great king. But he will not reign as king until his second coming. So his first coming, he came as a Savior. And that's what we read here in these verses, this announcement. We remember this announcement from these angels, the angel to the shepherds there, those words. "For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." I'd like to talk to you just a little bit for a few moments about Savior. How was he a Savior? Why was he a Savior? And who exactly did he come to save? Well, you know, to bring the truth to mind this morning, I'm going to just start with a story that occurred not too long from here. It's too far from here, excuse me. Isle of Shoals, about 10 miles or so from the coast of Portsmouth, New Hampshire, there's a story that I think just illustrates when you think of a Savior and why a Savior. It's the story of the USS Squalus. Maybe you've seen its marker at the Portsmouth Naval Yard, but I was reading a blog, in fact, about the Squalus, and this was even the title of the Squalus to make the point. USS Squalus, the Saviors and the Saved. The Saviors and the Saved. That was a title of the article. So, the baby in the manger, a Savior, what does it mean? Well, this story that occurred in 1939, just the picture. This submarine was being tested, still tested, by the Portsmouth Naval Yard on what seemed to be a normal day for the crew. They set out into the Atlantic and prepared for a rapid test dive not far from the Isle of Shoals. And as they set out, the Christmas tree, that's what they called it. The control panel with the many green and red lights said everything was normal, everything was good. But they didn't realize there was a false indication on the panel. So the main induction valve, which was supposed to be closed, which the light said was closed, was actually open. So as the submarine took this rapid dive, it began to filled with water, the engine room filled with water, and then the entire vessel began to flood, and they had to quickly close off sections. What happened is that vessel sank to the bottom of the ocean floor. 28 sailors would die, but 33 miraculously remained alive. So the Navy estimated that the crew had about 48 hours of oxygen, and so they staged this Great Rescue, the Lieutenant Commander Charles Monson oversaw the rescue as the world listened on the radio and family members gathered around to wait on the shores to see if their loved ones were among the living. And it's 80 plus years now, and this rescue operation remains the only successful undersea submarine rescue in history. Anyway, Helen Monson, who's the granddaughter of this lieutenant commander who oversaw it, 5 years ago she was interviewed, and she shared of her grandfather this, that he never lost sight of the men that had been lost along the way. And then she also said these words, "The salvation of the 33 men who survived the squalls was such a blessing to him." I thought those were interesting words. The salvation of the 33 men. You know, I'm sure Christmas services, not too many, are talking about submarines this morning. But I think it gives us a visual, a picture. You can just, for a moment in your mind, consider that submarine sitting at the bottom of the Atlantic Ocean. Sailors were going to die without a rescue, without a savior. 243 feet of frigid Atlantic Ocean separated them from the others that were above the surface. And it was impossible, humanly impossible, for them to do anything to rescue themselves. Their only hope was a savior from that world above the water that could come down and save them and bring them to the place where they could live. You know, this time of year, we stop, we look at the baby in the manger. Let's not lose sight of what it's all about. Of course, we have the wonderful things we do at Christmas, right? We watch wonderful programs, we sing nice carols, we eat great food, we hang out with family or friends and their presents and so forth. All that is really a sideshow, isn't it, to what the Christmas is all about. As we gather here this morning, we look at the manger and we consider, we look upon the Savior, Christ the Lord. And I begin with that today because every single person that is here and every person that's watching online, every one of us needs a Savior. We need a Savior. The Bible tells us that we all have a problem. We all have this sentence of death upon us, every one of us. And we also only have so much time left. We don't even know how much time we have left, but we have whatever we do personally. Every single person right here, right now, needs a Savior to get us from where we are, to get us to that place of life. That is true life now, but also eternal life in the future. We need someone, we need a Savior that can get us from where we are and get us to heaven, where God is. You know, like the sailors at the bottom of the ocean floor, as fallen humans, there is absolutely no way you and I can get ourselves from here to heaven. You can't do it no matter how hard you try. In fact, 243 feet of Atlantic Ocean water was impossible for those sailors. But for you and I, from here to heaven, it is infinitely far. It is an infinite distance because of the nature of God and our nature. God is holy. He is without sin, separated from evil, always perfect. And the problem is we are not. We've inherited this nature from the first people of this world, and we prove in life that we are not perfect. So nobody in this room can reach heaven on their own where God is, unless somehow you can be considered holy before God. And that's the great problem, something that we cannot do. So God had to do something about it. Like those men at the bottom of the ocean and that flooding submarine, we would all die. Die in our sin and be eternally separated from God unless God did something about it. And that's the incredible thing about Christmas, is you look at the baby in the manger and you consider again how much God loved you and I. He decided to do something about it. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. But God demonstrated his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You know, on that day in 1939, those 2 days, that rescue operation, there were a lot of people they considered saviors because it involved a lot of people to save those people, those sailors. But according to our Bible, there is only one Savior that can get us from where we are and get us to heaven, as the Bible makes it very clear Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. There is no other way. There is only one who could save us, and he had to come all the way down from heaven, come all the way down to where we are, so he could do what is necessary to rescue us, to bring us back to him, to later take us to heaven. The Apostle John, who spent time with Jesus, testified in 1 John chapter 4, verse 14, "And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world." So the Savior, important too, as we look at the baby in the manger, he also had to be perfect in order to perform the rescue we needed from our sinful nature. Thankfully, he was perfect. Then later, he also had to die in our place, paying the penalty we deserved for our sin, because there was no other way that God could forgive us and declare us to be holy. God never does wrong. He cannot change. But God knew if he himself, the Son of God, in his perfection, died in our place, there could be a payment paid for the penalty of what we deserve for our sin. And so then, as the judge of the universe, which he is by nature, as the creator, he could forgive us. And through his son's death, and also declare us to be holy, through his death and life, and to make us holy. So we could go to heaven. John chapter 3, verse 17. "For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that through the world he might be saved." So Christmas, we look in the baby in the manger, it's about a Savior. Christmas is about the Savior. You know, the rescue that happened there in the Atlantic in 1939, that rescue operation, they sent down a diving bell that was known as the McCain Rescue Chamber. Something, fortunately, that the Lieutenant Commander Charles Monson, I mentioned a moment ago, who oversaw the operation, he had also been instrumental in developing this bell, this vessel, not long before. And they sent it down, and it was attached to one of the torpedo hatches, and the surviving 33 sailors climbed inside, were raised to the top of the ocean, and then put on a ship and brought to land. And that image also gives us a picture in a similar way. Every one of us here today need to make a choice. There is a choice to make. We need to enter into that door that is provided to be rescued from our sin and have eternal life. So I just pose the question, have you made that decision? Have you made a decision for Christ? He's the only way. He's the Savior. There's no other way to get to heaven. That's what we're reminded. You know, 1939, the Navy had lost communication with the Squalus as it sat there on the ocean floor, because as they were moving some boats around to rescue, the cable was broken and they had no communication at all with the vessel. So they sent down divers initially, and so the divers, no one knew if there was any survivors. They tapped on the exterior of the hull. 33 soldiers, sailors still alive inside in complete darkness. Somebody had a hammer and began to tap back with Morse code to say, yeah, we're here. Yeah, there's a group of us that are alive. In fact, they didn't know how even many were among them that were alive. And yes, we want to be rescued, and we're waiting to be rescued. And I look at that picture. You know, just as that happened, it is also true that the Holy Spirit, you know, so mercifully, I'm just here sharing simply, you know, a Christmas message this morning, but I know the Holy Spirit uses His Word, God's Word, and He comes and knocks on the door of your heart. And just the simplest way, I want it to be simple today, He comes and knocks, and He knocks, and there's this response. You have the opportunity to respond or not, and respond to the Savior. You can this Christmas if you choose to, knocking on the door of your heart. You know, the baby in the manger would grow to be the man Jesus, who would one day say, "I am the door. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved." He also said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me." Speaking of a close relationship, which is part of salvation, Maybe just by God's doing this Christmas, you're here this morning or watching, and the Holy Spirit, Jesus, is knocking on the door of your heart saying, I'm the Savior. I've come to save you from your sins so you can be forgiven, so you can go to heaven, so you can know God. Jesus said also in John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And then he said, no one comes to the Father except through me. There is no other way. There's no other way. So have you received Christ into your life? Have you received the Savior? Jesus would die, he would grow, and he would die on a cross. Perfect man, God man, the Son of God, and pay the penalty for our sins. And now he gives the greatest Christmas gift you could possibly have to those who will believe in him, to those who will receive him. Paul, speaking of that, described this is how you receive the Savior, Christ. Romans chapter 10, verse 8. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto salvation, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know that vessel there at the bottom of the ocean? They couldn't do anything about saving themselves. They needed a Savior. And this, you know, these people came and rescued them and did the work for them. They just had to step into the bell and be saved. It's the same on this Christmas morning. You can't get to heaven. You can't make yourself right with God. You can't work out the issue that you have, that you have a fallen nature before holy God, but he's already done it for you. It's the only way. He sent the Savior. And what's left for you to do is to open your heart to the Savior in a true way, by faith, bend your heart and say, God, I need you. Jesus, I realize what you've done for me. I want you to save me. I want you to be the Lord of my life. You know, that baby in the manger, the wonderful Savior. As the angel Gabriel would say to Joseph, who was engaged to be married to the young virgin Mary, as she will bring forth a son, you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And amazing, you know, as we look at the baby in the manger, consider all who he is. The prophet Isaiah, 700 plus years before the birth of Jesus, prophesied of his coming with these amazing words. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, the greatest Christmas gift. And the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Amazing what the prophet said of this one who would be born, this son that would be given, this child that was born, that he would even be the mighty God. It is true. Incredibly, we look at the baby in the manger and we're reminded how this Christmas, how God himself came to us. God himself came to rescue us. Came all the way from where he was to here to save us. A number of years ago, Meredith Andrews and her husband released a contemporary version of one of the oldest Christmas carols, God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen. It dates back to the 16th century England. Well, their version of the Christmas carol is, the contemporary version is titled, He Has Come For Us. God rest ye merry gentlemen. And I'm going to read you the lyrics, and I think we may even conclude with it. God rest ye merry gentlemen. Let nothing you dismay. Remember Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day. to save us all from Satan's power when we were gone astray. O tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy, O tidings of comfort and joy. He has come for us, this Jesus. He's the hope for all mankind. He has come for us, the Messiah, born to give us life. From God our Heavenly Father, a blessed angel came, and under certain shepherds brought tidings of the same, how that Bethlehem was born, the Son of God by name. And then the lyrics continue. All the angels sing hallelujah. Jesus Christ is born. All the children sing hallelujah. He is Christ the Lord. So this Christmas, if you haven't yet, I encourage you, open your heart. There is a Savior. He came to us. God came to us to save us from our sins so we could be forgiven and so that we could know God. And maybe today in His doing, He's knocking on the door again of your heart. And as He is, are you going to respond? Are you going to open your heart to Him today, this Christmas? Well, I'm going to say a prayer because maybe you want to. Maybe you're at that place. You don't need to resist God anymore. You're at that place. All right. I want to be forgiven. Forgive me of my pride. You know, I surrender. I need you. Here's my heart. Here's my life. You gave your life for me. I open my life to you now. I receive you. And if you do, as Paul said to the church in Rome, if you profess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, because He is Lord of all, profess Him to be Lord of your life and believe in your heart that He died and rose from the grave. He rose because He died and paid for your sin. You will be saved. So all who call upon Him will be saved. And it's to in your heart in a sincere way. So you can do that right now. It's a gift you can receive. Greatest Christmas gift. So I'm going to say a prayer. Maybe you want to use this prayer. Maybe you don't know what to say yourself to God. But you're at that place you want to begin with Him. You can do it right here, right now. Give Him your heart in this most sincere way. I often use the illustration, but one day when I met Paula, and we had been dating a little, I hit her with a question. I said, will you marry me? There was the invitation. Fortunately, she said yes. But she said yes, she meant it. I will be your wife. And we've been married now 31 years. In the same way, to God, you can right now in this place on this Christmas morning say yes. I want you. Here is my life. Would you forgive me? Would you fill me with your Spirit? Make me your own. Make me your child. So I'm going to say a prayer. Maybe that's for you today and you want to just use this prayer on this Christmas morning to begin your journey with God. You can repeat the prayer if you choose to, God. Dear Heavenly Father, I confess I am a sinner, and I need forgiveness of my sins. I need a Savior. Father, I do believe that You sent Your Son Jesus to this world, and He became a man. And one day He would die on a cross, paying the penalty for my sin. Then He raised to life so I could have life. So this day, Heavenly Father, I do believe. I ask that You would forgive me of all my sins. I open my heart. I receive You, Jesus, as the Lord of my life. I choose to follow You from this day forward. Please fill me with Your Holy Spirit. Thank You for answering my prayer. Thank You for saving me. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, today, if you're beginning your journey with the Lord, and you just prayed and asked Him, that's what the Bible said, those that call on the Lord will be saved. And you, in a simple way, just did in your heart, God heard you. He's been waiting. And he is a God, he forgives. He's true to his word to give you his life. And he's beginning to work in your life even right now. And I'd love to talk to you after the service, before you run out. If you happen to pray with me today, just to make sure you have a Bible and to keep you in prayer. But praise the Lord. And let's stand together, shall we? So we're going to conclude in this, what was one of the oldest Christmas carols way back, about 500 years ago. But now, contemporary, he has come to us. I'll say a closing prayer and we'll sing as we go. Merry Christmas to you. I pray you have a blessed day with your family and friend. Father, we thank you. We thank you we can be together today and just stop for this moment on Christmas and consider who you are, our Savior, what that means, what you've done for us. So as we return to our family and friends, we've been given so much. In Christ, what we have waiting for us in heaven and in the future. Help us also, lead us as we go to be with others that maybe don't know you. If it be your will, Lord, we pray you'd open up those moments we can point people to you today, some of our loved ones, and we pray you'd speak to their heart, knock on the door of their heart, and even bring them to you also. We love you, Lord, and we praise you for all you've done in Jesus' name. Amen.